Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the National Employment Network conference call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Thursday, May 19th, 2016. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mark Green. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the quarterly all-in call. I'm glad everybody can join us. We have, as the flight attendants say, a full plane today, so we're going to hold off on the questions until the end so we make sure everybody gets to do their presentation. The bad news is I have several parts of this agenda, so you have to listen to me a couple of times. Let me just start off by giving you an update on the EN site visits. We did the first round last summer. We have started on the second round this summer. We did basically two types of reviews last year. One was QA. We audited all of the ENs that are using the consumer directed services model, and we've given reports to all of them. And we did some basic EN site reviews based on criteria of payments and suitability and things that we thought were interesting enough to go out and talk to ENs. For the most part, ENs were doing what we expected them to do. For the most part, they were following the BPA for the most part. However, there was one overarching problem that we saw, and I think I would say virtually every EN, it's probably every EN we saw, is that they were not following the requirements of IWP development as we have laid them out in the BPA. Regularly, we saw goals that seemed to be much too generic and didn't seem to be the product of a conversation between the beneficiary and the EN. We saw services that did not track the goals, that did not clearly indicate how the EN intended to get the beneficiary to the goal. And those ENs that did update IWPs, which is a requirement, did that in the form of case notes, which is signed for your purposes, but it's not signed. And as you probably know, we look at the IWP as a form of a contract. So that's something we're going to be focusing on here. And with Maximus doing additional training, and we will be making changes to the BPA to clarify exactly what it is we expect, because I imagine the problems for some of it were in the presentation. Second round of EN site visits, the QA staff is also going to go out. Going to be auditing all the ENs that use the employer model. There's a handful of them and other ENs that have come to our attention. And similarly, the EN staff, the NSD staff, and managers will be visiting ENs for various reasons as before. We just started. We're going through the end of the fiscal year. We'll be seeing 15 ENs, something like that, and somewhere around the same ENs for regular EN visits and around the same for the QA. So we may be notifying you shortly, so keep reading the email. All right, thank you. We're going to move on to the next item on the agenda. And remember, if you have questions, we'll get back to you at the end. We're going to discuss the helpline, the ticket helpline, and I'm going to turn it over to Lori Armstrong from Maximus. Thank you. Lori.
Hi, thank you, Mark. This is Lori Armstrong. I'm the Beneficiary Support Manager. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about the ticket helpline activity for February, March, and April. So speaking about statistics, we've been receiving on average about 20,500 calls per month. And from those calls, on average, we've been sending out on average 5,900 employment network lists. And the Find Help tool from the Choose Work site has been accessed roughly 24,300 times per month on average. And that's a tool used to, for beneficiaries and the public to generate employment network lists themselves. As far as calls, we have a 42-second average time that a caller has to wait to speak to one of our agents, and our average abandonment rate over February, March, and April is 3.13%. that's the information that I have available today for the helpline, and I'm going to turn it over to Karen Davidson, is the program outreach manager. Karen?
Thank you, Lori. I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about our outreach activity over the last 3 months. The first thing is our virtual job fair. As you probably all know, we had one in March, on March 16th. It was a regional job fair covering the Mid-Atlantic region and Puerto Rico. We had 111 participants, which included 81 beneficiaries who had their tickets assigned and 21 service providers. We had 27 federal contractors who participated in the virtual job fair and had booths set up for meeting via chat with the job seekers. During the virtual job fair, we had 191 private chat messages and 877 group chat messages. We are actively following up with the federal contractors who participated in March to track their employment outcomes. We also are following up with the service providers who had beneficiaries who participated in the virtual job fair to also follow up on employment outcomes. And some of you may have already received calls. Those calls were started last week. And I'm excited to announce our next virtual job fair, which is going to be August 24th. This is going to be a national virtual job fair. And it's going to be longer than the last one. It's going to be from 11 a.m. Eastern Time to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And we've also are streamlining the registration process to make it easier for beneficiaries to register. We'll have all the details on that along with the announcement going out in the next couple of weeks. So put that date on your calendar. We have a list of 65 federal contractors that are anxious to participate. We're really, really excited about that. And we're counting on all of you to make this a success. You know, your help is crucial in reaching out to your assigned ticket holders to let them know, in addition to our regular messaging that will be going out through GovDelivery and social media. Next, I want to talk to you about our WISE webinars, Work Incentive Seminar Events. As you know, we have them once a month, usually on the fourth Wednesday of the month at 3 o'clock Eastern Time. Anyone can join, but they're specifically designed for beneficiaries. They're very informative for both beneficiaries and service providers and family members and community partners, and they contain a wealth of information on Ticket to Work, Work Incentives, and other subjects depending on the monthly theme. So this is a great training opportunity for your staff, especially if you have new staff, for your staff to participate in as well. Our February WISE event was on finding a job with a federal contractor, and it also included information about our March virtual job fair. We had 321 participants. And included in that number were 108 employment networks. So we know a lot of employment networks are dialing into these webinars, which is good. The March webinar was entitled Make It Happen, the Ticket to Financial Freedom, which was all about financial independence. We had 299 participants, which included 94 employment networks. April was Ticket to Work Choosing a Provider That Is Right for You. We had 401 participants, including 109 employment networks. Our May webinar is actually next Wednesday on the 25th, and it's going to be surrounding mental health, because May is Mental Health Month. We're also going to be launching, again, our viewing party toolkit starting next month. You may remember a couple years ago, a viewing party toolkit was designed for employment networks and other service providers who wanted to invite ticket holders into their office to view the WISE event, the WISE webinar, and it would also give the employment network an opportunity to talk about their own services during that viewing party. And you can also view, you can also have a viewing party and show any of our archived WISE webinars that are on our website in the webinar tab on choosework.net. So at this time, I would like to introduce Adele Barr, our training manager. Adele?
Hi, this is Adele Barr, and thank you for introducing me. This is a new role here. We're going to have the training department, and I have a staff that will help me out with that, three individuals. And we were just excited to let you know that EN Development will have training available, and we'll post that on the website. You can request at any time. It's actually the training that's listed on the BPA. And we just wanted to let you know that there were good things coming from training, and be on the lookout for that. Okay. And following me, I'm heading this back on to Mark to talk about ticket mailing status.
Thank you, Adele. Those of you on the call probably heard me say this before, but I'm going to remind everybody, we're sending out different groups of notices, of ticket notices. The first is the what we call the startup notices. Those are the traditional ones that we sent out through 2011 to newly entitled beneficiaries. We're sending out catch-up notices to beneficiaries who would have gotten the ticket in the years 2011 to until we started to back up again in 2015. And two new things, we're sending out a one-year and a three-year anniversary ticket notice. So the typical beneficiary who's coming on in the last couple of years will receive three ticket notices. We think this is a very powerful outreach tool, marketing tool, and I'm going to renew a request I've made before. Those of you who can, and I'd like to think can do this, please keep data that can inform us whether this is an effective outreach tool. You should be able to tell if somebody calls you, ask them, would you tell us how you learned about this? We'd like to know how many beneficiaries learn from the ticket so we can measure before and after and things like that. This is it's an important exercise for us. The notices have settled down into standard numbers. We send out about 32 to 35,000 startup notices and 1 year and 3 year anniversaries. Those numbers have been pretty steady. They're a little lower than we thought, but new beneficiaries are coming on at a lower rate the last couple of years. There you go. Okay, so that's the ticket notices. I just want to amplify the point about the data. I think we're going to have staff get in touch with certain ends, maybe something more organized, to talk about the ticket ticket mailing. We'll be in touch with everybody. We'll send out a blast. We'll figure out some way to get information from you guys. I know you have things to share, and you're all not going to be able to get through on the call after this. So just be prepared. I hope you keep some good records. We can have a good conversation. And now we're going to talk about the restart of the IVR call campaigns. I'm going to turn it back over to Tammy Litico.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Mark. This is Tammy Litico. I am the TPM Program Development Manager. I just wanted to just, again, just get a little bit of an update. Like Mark said, we are resuming the nationwide call campaign to beneficiaries using IVR, otherwise known as robocalling. We actually started this on May 2nd. This is the campaign is essentially running the same as it did under the BAP contract. Just to review, we are making 30,000 calls monthly. Approximately 25,000 of those calls are going to newly eligible beneficiaries. Approximately 5,000 are going to those who have had a recent successful case closure from a state VR agency. We are running a campaign so that people are getting calls between 9 a.m. and 6 p.m., so we're trying to avoid odd hours for people receiving phone calls. And so I think that just sums up where we're at right now, and we are starting to collect data. And we'll have more information as the campaigns keep on running. Then I am just going to talk just a little bit. I'm going to sit down and talk about just our outreach themes in that as Maximus has begun marketing and outreach efforts, we have our goals and efforts are to do a monthly outreach campaigns and align beneficiary as well as incorporate provider outreach efforts according to monthly topic themes. So this includes various efforts that we are we're developing and implementing, including the WISE webinars that Karen just talked about, articles and blogs, social media posting, Facebook, Twitter, also social media events, success story promotions, the unaffected practice promotion, podcast development. So it's a variety of activities that we are offering through our monthly campaign. As Karen mentioned, during May, we are focusing on mental illness. In June, we will be promoting information, services, and supports around a focus on youth in transition. In July, that brings us the ADA anniversary, so we will be centering more around topics around accessibility, whether it's assistive technology, accommodations, disclosure, rights and responsibilities. So, again, with the new TPM contract, combining the beneficiary and provider support efforts gives us the opportunity to merge some of these messaging efforts and strategies for both audiences. And just wanted to give you that update, and please stay tuned as we continue toward these coordinated themes. Look forward to information and marketing efforts that for beneficiaries, the EN community, and other stakeholders. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Katie Strivinger, who is going to talk about the Find Health Tools.
Okay. This is Mark. Before you do that, Marilyn asked a question about what the message is to the recipients, to the beneficiaries on the VR case closure calls. We will post the scripts, they're very short, for the IVR calls on the website. So take a look in a couple of days, and you'll see them there. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Hi, this is Katie Strivinger from the Social Security Administration. I just wanted to give a few reminders about the Find Health tool. That is the information on the Choose Work website that beneficiaries can access to find, help them find providers. Can everyone still hear me? Sorry about that. I think we had a technical difficulty. So the Find Help tool. It is your responsibility to make sure that the information on the Find Help tool is accurate and displays the information you want beneficiaries to see about contacts for your agency. If the information on the website is not correct or you want it changed, you need to email enservice@ssa.gov. And on that email, please make sure you include your DUNS so it can help us identify your agency quickly. Once again, we will be posting the email address up in the chat window. But if you have a change to the Find Help tool and the information on the tool, send an email to enservice@ssa.gov and be as explicit as possible about what you want changed. The clearer you are, the more quickly we can do this for you. Another piece of information on the Find Help tool, for each site that you post on the website, there is a description you can, optional description you can use to post information about your agency and what it does. If you have an EN description that you would like to submit for approval before it is posted to the website, you can send your description to endeskrev@ssa.gov. Once again, we are going to put that in the chat window, so I had to repeat it. But there's a separate email address for EN descriptions. And that will allow you to put a description for each separate site of your agency that you have listed on the website. And I'm going to send it to Mark to talk about TPR.
Okay, those of you who've been on previous calls will be familiar with what I'm about to say, which is that we are still not ready to lift the moratorium on CPR. We, Katie particularly, have been working very hard with the Office of Systems to clean up the database and to do various other things before we can transfer it to the portal. So those ENs were really anxious to get those notices telling them to go into the portal and to complete some information. You'll just have to wait. I'm sorry, I can't give a date. We will make a very big announcement when we're finally ready to do this. From a programmatic perspective, though, I want to remind you that beneficiaries who were in use when the moratoriums began are still in use. We're not calling them up for CDRs just because we can't get to the TPRs. Similarly, we've had some scattered number of questions from ENs and from our old field offices asking us how beneficiaries who are participating in the SICR program are being called up to CDR. Well, simply, those are beneficiaries who were not in use before the moratorium. They failed. We've said over the years we don't immediately call somebody up for a medical CDR when they fail TPR. There's a schedule. If they come up on the schedule, they're going to get called up, and that's what's happening. It can be a year or two or 3 years later, depending on what the nature of their impairment is. So the moratorium is still in place. Whatever status the beneficiaries were in before the moratorium started, that continues. And the last item I want to discuss is the marketing proof of concept. I know you've heard us discuss that also. This is the strategy we're trying out to replace the beneficiary CD. We have just begun, after a long development phase, of sending out a file to a selected number of ENs who will receive the name and either the telephone number or the address of the beneficiaries in the categories of beneficiaries they've asked for. We are creating the files. They tell us whether they're going to do robocalling or letters. We create the file, send it to them over secure messaging, over the GSO secure messaging. It is encrypted over the secure messaging. When the file runs, they tell us, and we have pretty strict requirements on these ENs for participating in the proof of concept to let us know, again, similar to the ticket mailings, how this is going. We are asking them to keep records so they can tell us what is the impact of the calls or the letters they're sending out month by month. We're taking our time on this mainly because it takes some time for the file to be created. It takes person on our staff about a week to get this all together. So we're rolling them out probably a week apart, maybe 10 days. There are 20-something ENs. We will be evaluating the proof of concept as it goes along, and we'll be evaluating it in greater detail when it's over. I know a number of you have expressed an interest in getting on the list for when we expand the proof of concept. We are keeping that list. I promise you, whenever you ask, I am putting it on the list, but I cannot tell you when we're going to expand the list. Actually, I can't even tell you if we're going to expand the list because this is the proof of concept, and by nature, if the concepts pass, they fail inspection. But you're on there. If we do decide to move ahead, we will, of course, add those of you who have made the case. You will have to sign something specific and promise that you'll give us the data that we were asking for, but I'm sure we can accommodate anybody who can make a reasonable case. And that, I believe, is the end of the presentation, except that Kara wants to say something.
Hi. I just wanted to let everybody know with suitability and some progress that we're making. We recently got a video from the Office of Suitability, and we are going to put that up on the Your Ticket to Work website within the next week or so. So it should help with applying for suitability. Also, they are in the progress, which should be within the next couple of months, of having fingerprinting centers throughout the country. Every state will have them. So you should no longer have to use fingerprint cards. And as posted on the chat, there's also a helpline number to use. So you can call us if you want to, but we're just going to call that helpline number ourselves. So it, you know, takes out the middleman for you. But if you need assistance from us, of course, we are available. And that is it.
Okay. Thank you, Kara, for this very important message. And operator, we are ready to take questions now.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to register a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone keypad. If your question has been answered and you would like to withdraw your registration, please press pound. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question comes from the line of Stacy Patali.
Hello, this is Stacy from Ian in Framingham, Massachusetts. Regarding the moratorium and the CDR, can you explain that further? Because I think I have an example of someone like that, but I don't really understand the prior to the moratorium and all the language around that. Can you explain that further?
I can. What's your example? It might be the easier way to put it.
Well, my example is an individual who is self-employed was receiving monies, but not at the level of substantial gainful activity, but she got a letter in the mail that said, you know, she'd been in a trial work level for a few months, and she was going to get a medical review in September. And this seemed in contradiction to the stated aims of the program, which is to avoid the CDR, you know, as long as somebody's, you know, involved in making progress. But perhaps, I don't know, maybe she went over, she was already over the trial work level. I don't really know. So can you explain if that's the example that you're talking about?
Sure, I'll try. We may be talking about two different CDRs, but what you described seemed to be the work CDR. But what I was talking about was the medical CDR. Whatever status the person was in, from the previous, the last TPR review the person went through, they either passed and they were remained in use, or they didn't pass and they're not in use. That status continues throughout. So what I was saying was we will not be selecting beneficiaries who entered the moratorium, when we entered the moratorium, were in use, but we will be selecting beneficiaries when we do CDRs of beneficiaries who were not in use. That was the point I was trying to make. If you have a question about specific beneficiary, you should send that to us on, you can use Ian, which email should we send?
They can send it to us, Ian Tara.
All right. Tara's going to tell you what the
answer is. ianservice@ssa.gov. And I just wanted to add that we've had several of these where people think it's a medical review and it is a work review. I think the field office, the way it's sent out, the letters are sometimes confusing, and then it appears that they're doing a medical
and
review,
we call
and they're
the same
not.
Yeah,
she said I did ask her that question, and she said specifically it was medical.
Okay. Just let me remind you, when you go to the mailbox, do not send the Social Security number on the mailbox. We'll get back in touch with you and ask you for the SSN.
Or you can send it encrypted.
Or encrypted, however you want to do that. If you want us to pursue a specific beneficiary, encrypted, then we can go on the records and get back to you with the specific information.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Your next question comes from the line of Lisa Parlapiano.
Hey there. Could you please repeat the answer for those of us who would like to participate if and when the proof of concept marketing is expanded?
I'll tell you what, you can send me an email. That's what everybody's been doing. It's just my name, M-A-R-K, dot green, like the color, at ssa.gov. I'm the one, my staff is taking care of the list.
It's mark.green@ssa.com?
mark.green@ssa.gov.
You're right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Can I just answer some questions that are on the chat? This is Kara. Mary Lynn, the fingerprint centers that you've been charged for, those are not Social Security fingerprint centers. I don't know what they are, but Social Security is not charging for these. They're not even out yet. So we just had a meeting with the suitability office last week, and they told us within the next couple of months. So I'm not quite sure what that is, but if it's from Social Security, you should not be charged. And then the person, Angelina, if you're having an issue and you're waiting for someone to get back to you and they're not getting back to you, contact your ENSB representative or EN service and it'll get to them. So, and we'll inquire about that.
Okay, operator, we're ready to take more calls on the phone.
Okay. Your next audio question comes from the line of Ann Austin.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Ann.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I have my EN is not getting very many calls, and talking to my peers around the country,
I think the biggest issue for us is that our EN is, our first letter of our name is L, Laridin. And I'm wondering if the website, the ChooseWorks website Find Help tool, could be, instead of just being straight alphabetical, a program could be written to make it so that if the person doesn't, like, look for a zip code, that they don't just get all of the A's and all of the B's and all of the C's, because by the time they get to Laridin, we're on the fifth page and they're never going to call us. Is there some type of, could you write some type of a computer code that, you know, mixes them up so that people have a fair chance at actually getting a call?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. I'm going to ask Lori York to respond to you.
Hi, Anne. I think I responded to you recently regarding this question. At this point, we have considered several different options for organizing the Find Help tool. And unfortunately, there really isn't a way to make everyone happy, because everyone obviously would want their EN to come up first. So we will definitely, you know, consider other options. But at this point, we have considered many, and this is the most reasonable option that we've come up with so far. But we're always, you know, considering new ones, and we'll definitely take it into under advisement if and when we do update the website. We'll consider other options.
So that's
sure.
For everybody. I'm sorry. And if anybody else has ideas and suggestions, Laura was saying, we have struggled over the years to try to satisfy everybody. You can't. There are conflicting and competing interests, and someone is geographical, and someone is alphabetical, and someone is, but please send us your ideas, send them into the UNSB server, send them to me. We're always looking for some improvements. This has been a difficult thing. We're trying to satisfy as many people as we can, mainly the beneficiaries. So if you can help us do that, that would be great.
And this is Rob. I just have a follow-up question for you. Have you noticed an uptick in calls at all since the letters have been increased, the number of letters that we're sending out?
Oh, this is Anne. We have seen a small uptick, and I think randomization of that list on the website might be a huge help. And the people who do find us generally look in their zip code, so that's how they're finding us, because we're only a statewide EN.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. And again, we're always looking to get feedback relative to how the increase in the number of notices that we're sending out currently, whether or not they're helping or whatever the case may be. So please give us your feedback. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
You have a follow-up question from the line of Lisa Parlatina.
Hey there. Thanks, guys. It's on a different topic, but for the good of the order, Rob, I wanted to let you know that we appreciate the letters. We have seen an uptick in calls and ticket assignments, and that's from letters. We are checking those stats every month from our offices. So we appreciate that slight increase. I have a question about the WIPA offices and the Ticket to Work helpline referrals. And I think it's a question that I have for Lori that I can maybe contact you by email, Lori. I know that there's been a lot of training going on. I know that there was new staff. Our concern in my area is that we can no longer refer directly to our local WIPA office, which is in our same town, although they serve a lot of different counties in our state. And so sometimes it's confusing for customers when they call, and then the information they're getting from the Ticket to Work helpline representative is names of other employment networks. Where we've actually talked to them, we've helped them, work is imminent or they're already working, and but we're not going to, you know, we really like to have our customers get that WIPA information before we do the IWP so that they're fully informed. So I'd love to have a chance maybe to email you so that I can kind of let you know some of my concerns and get the update on that.
Yeah. Lori, hold on before you answer that. What state are you in?
Florida.
Could you just elaborate on what you mean by you're not allowed? Actually, I have the Florida project officer sitting here, Marjorie MacGyver, so if you can tell her what the situation is, maybe we can resolve it.
Oh, sure. And Marjorie is the AWIC or what?
No, she's on our staff. She's the project officer for that state on the WIPA program.
Oh, hey, Marjorie. Yeah, so locally, I'm sorry to take time on this national call, but basically our WIPA office let us know that they will not, they do not want our customers to call them directly. So we've changed over the years because we used to have them co-located in our offices. They would meet our, you know, Ticket to Work customers in our office, and they said that they must receive their referrals through the Ticket to Work helpline, and that the Ticket to Work helpline had certain standards, that work must be imminent. They won't, you know, they're not talking to anybody who is in active job search and not sure if they want to do the program. So it's really helped. It's really kind of hurting us because the beneficiaries really need that information in order to jump sometimes. They really need to know how earnings will impact their benefits, specifically in their situation. And so the problem we had was that, well, we can't refer locally. They don't come out and meet our customers anymore. They meet customers not in person, only by phone. And, you know, and partly what they say is it's because of their large area and their capacity to serve. And so we must refer our customers to the Ticket to Work helpline. And what happens at some times is that those customers then get information about other ENs, and we're already working with them.
That's okay. Hi. Well, there's a couple things. I'm hoping we can figure this out. I mean, with the new WIPA competition, we did try to shift the WIPAs to focus on more priority groups, and we encouraged some of them to, you know, put the Ticket to Work helpline on those, on their brochures and other marketing materials, so that they don't get as much INR information referral, and they can really focus on the intensive cases. But I think there probably has been a little bit of a misunderstanding, maybe. So I would love to find out. If I could follow up with you directly, would you mind if could you send me an email with your contact information so I can get in touch with you and I can reach out to the WIPA directly and we can clarify and work through some of these issues?
Sure, that would be great.
So my email is Marjorie, and it's spelled MarjorieMciver, MCIV as in Victor, ER, at SSA.gov, and I will also add, we did, I know we did increase some of the areas some of the WIPAs are covering in Florida. I know one in particular, and I'm guessing it might be the one you're referring to. So I'd love to have a conversation with you, and I can definitely have a conversation with the WIPA to try to work some of this out, because it sounds like there's a little miscommunication, and we need to get, you know, your folks shouldn't be running back and forth and calling different people.
Okay.
All
right.
Okay, thank you very much. That sounds great. I'll follow up.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Marjorie. We're ready for the next call, operator.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, to register for an audio question, please press the star followed by the 1. Your next question comes from the line of Jill Kowalski.
Hi, I'm with the NICEN. I just wanted a little more information about what kind of data you want us to collect based off those 1-year and 3-year ticket mailings.
Oh, the main thing that we'd like you to ask is how did you hear about us, and keep track of what the categories are. It's a simple database. And if they say something about it's from Social Security, dig a little deeper in there and see if it's the letter, so we can measure the impact of the letter. What you are, I don't know if you're keeping this data beforehand. I suspect you might have, but just keep track on a month-by-month basis. So if somebody asks us, and if we need to determine, you know, the efficacy of sending these letters out, we'll be able to show this is a valuable marketing tool. It's a pretty simple thing.
And this is Rob. I would also suggest any sort of tracking of the number of calls and an increase associated with those. And I don't know if, you know, perhaps you were tracking them before we were mailing the notices or not, but if you happen to track the amount of contact you're receiving, that it would be helpful just in that regards as well. That's a little less scientific, but it would be helpful.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Welcome.
Again, to ask an audio question, press star 1. There are no further audio questions at this time.
All right. Thank you, everybody. I see we have had an active chat back and forth about the Find Help tool, which is an ongoing conversation for the last 5 years or so. So I'm going to encourage you all again to engage us in this conversation. I know we've heard from some of you. I can see some familiar names up there, but please, we'd like to hear. This has been a challenge for us. Thank you for joining. The next call, again, we're on a quarterly schedule, will be August the 18th. We will be in touch several times before that to remind you. And this was a pretty good call. We had a lot to talk about, and we'd appreciate it if you would get back to us. Let us know if you think these were valuable topics and what you'd like us to discuss on August the 18th, or is it some better way which somehow we can have some communication with you. So thank you all very much, and we hope to hear from you soon, and definitely on August the 18th. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the webinar for today. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your line.